Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
And Bart, before we get to all the latest and the headlines that you might have missed, and even the stories that are happening right now in the world of sports, I do want to let you know that while you were gone, let's just say the Power Hour, it wasn't the same.
That means it's the Power Hour, 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 Hour.
I mean, Ty Butler did his best there. That was pretty good. Chris Canty?
It's the Power Hour, 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 Hour.
Sounds like Chris was out of breath. Yeah, as soon as he got in, he was out of breath.
Yeah, like he really like brought it strong, and then just, you know, he definitely was a sprinter, not in a marathon. Now, Ty Butler also did want to talk a lot about where you were.
Well, he's on vacation, playing with himself.
I mean,
that is true. Yeah, I was out on the beach, butt naked.
You were?
Yeah, I watched some bulls get killed. Wasn't my favorite.
You watched some? Watched some what?
Bullfighting.
Oh, bullfighting.
Yeah, they killed a bull.
Killed a bull?
I was so happy. I was ecstatic when the bull got his ass.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, they flip him? Limped off. Yeah, the third bull. I bought a teddy bear for my son, and I called him Trace because I couldn't wait for the third bull. The third bull, when I say he jacked this dude up when he had his little spandex on and his penny loafers, he tore his ass up.
Mm. Did the crowd go crazy?
No.
No.
Because listen, I'm the only one that was there for the bull. Because I didn't know they killed the bull, and I didn't know they stabbed him so many times. So brutal.
What? Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
So, listen.
They literally kill the bull?
They kill six bulls a day.
What?
Every bull that goes in there dies.
Did not know that.
I thought it was bull fight, not bull killing.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
It should be bull massacre.
It's bull you know what.
Yeah, I was like, listen, this is brutal. Oh, it's tradition. Whatever. So is cannibalism in certain places, but I wouldn't go see that either.
It is? Where is cannibalism tradition? Now, you know what? Never mind. I didn't ask you that.
You remember when these crusaders, Christian people, tried to go in and talk to these people and they ate them?
Well, I mean, that did happen.
Yeah, that happened a couple years ago. Everybody don't want to be acculturated.
No, they don't. Have you ever seen that where like drones now fly over some like rainforest and stuff in South America, and they find like tribes that are living in seclusion that have no connection whatsoever to the modern world.
Exactly.
And they have none of the things that we have, including electricity.
Well, they was like the last time a bunch of white people showed up, it didn't go so well for those people, so we ain't doing that again.
You're the worst. All right, so let's get into it. It is hour number three. It is Bart and Han. What's that mean?
It's the Power Hour, 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 Hour.
Oh, you're just showing off there.
Hey, I got a show, man. I'm the real McQueen. I'm just the real McQueen.
Heat and eight? What was that? What was that prediction at that point?
It was going to be two overtimes and six.
Yeah, okay.
Two overtimes.
all right. Let's get a couple of things here. First and foremost, Jet workouts, OTAs continuing on. Rich Cimini with very exciting updates. Do you want me to tell you how Aaron Rodgers did? From an open practice.
Oh God, do we have the useless stats of the day?
We do. You ready?
Oh, all right. Yeah.
So from Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for ESPN, Aaron Rodgers took 8 reps in 7-on-7.
A whole 8.
He was 5 for 8.
Ow!
But one drop. So really, really, if you think about it, he was.
Ow! He was 80%.
He was 4. What was he? I guess that makes him 5 for 7. Really?
Well, if he goes
one's a drop.
If he goes 80% every game,
it's pretty good.
Oh, my God.
He did not.
Or that means the defense sucks.
He did not participate in 11-on-11 because the calf, we don't want to push it. I'm in agreement. Wrap this man in bubble wrap. His 8 reps included 2 of 4 in the red zone.
Oh, green zone.
Wide open, Xavier Gibson dropped the pass in the end zone. There's your drop.
Who the hell is Xavier Gibson?
That's what we're going to say once
exactly.
He's cut.
Yeah,
exactly. You're cut now. Hey, don't you drop a pass from this man.
Is Xavier Gibson to be delivering Uber Eats by August?
Jeez.
It's the reality
of it. Calling it out. He also goes on to say that Rodgers misfired on a short pass to C.J. Uzomah.
That was Uzomah's fault.
Rebounded with a short touchdown throw to Garrett Wilson, back shoulder.
Cash.
And then Jason Brownlee.
Ooh, are you telling us we're going to see the same back shoulder where a defender can't defend him when he's in perfect mm-hmm. position? It's going to be the back shoulder if he's caught over the top, if he's so underneath, exciting. It's going to be over the top. Oh, my God, accuracy in a plan in case so the perfect defense can't be defensed. Oh, my goodness.
It's so exciting, isn't it?
It almost makes the Bill Barnwell news even better.
Non-Rodgers takeaways today from the Jets. Nice day for Zach Wilson. Ran the first team offense in 11-on-11. 5-for-5. Mostly short stuff. How dare he call him short? Went 6-for-8 and 7-on-7, including 2-for-4 in the RZ.
Ooh.
Overall, seemed comfortable. Lots of checkdowns.
Yeah.
Do we want to continue this? I mean, this is OTAs. This is what we're doing now.
No defensive line coming. So no, nothing. He's not going to be hitting the back of the head.
Yeah, nothing else. That's basically it. But then there was this, because we all know on the defense, you know, who was missing on the defensive side. Of course, Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
Robert Saleh talking about how eager he is to get a deal done with Big Q.
I speak for everyone. I probably speak for Quinnen in that we all want it to get done sooner rather than later. But I'll let the business guys handle all that stuff. But it's going to get done. He'll be here for camp. He'll be ready to roll. And once he is, I'm sure he'll be the same guy he was a year ago.
So it's going to get done, he says.
Before camp. Listen, there's been reports that maybe they haven't heard yet. They haven't announced. Maybe Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
Will we have Revis watch all over again?
Oh, no. We don't want that.
Where's Quinnen? We go meet him at the Piggly Wiggly or Committed Pig. Or we go catch him at Krispy Kreme on the highway.
Like, you know how important. Pay this man his money. What are we doing here?
They're continuing to see. Ed Oliver just got paid with the division again.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's not a Quinnen Williams deal or Dexter Lawrence deal, but it's kind of another guy getting paid early.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What do you think, speaking of, who'd you just name? Ed Oliver, right? So that's the Bills. They just added Leonard Floyd. So they just added him on a one-year deal. Remember, he was released by the Rams, so he and Von Miller reunited, and it feels so good. And Chris Canty yesterday said to me that he originally had the Jets as the favorite to win the division, but now since they added Leonard Floyd, he's changing his call, and he's saying it's the Bills.
So Leonard Floyd is who changes your
well, because he talked about the impact that you can have with Floyd on one side and Von Miller on the other. We have seen that before. It turned into a Super Bowl.
Von Miller, 34 years old, coming off a knee. Do we think that he's going to be the same player that he was when he was with the Rams? And last I checked, the person that made everything go, his name was Aaron Donald.
Mm.
I don't think you're giving Ed Oliver that type of respect. You don't even give Ed Oliver the Quinnen Williams respect. You don't give him the Chris Jones effect. Listen, Floyd is available for a reason. And Von Miller coming off of injury. We talk about Odell Beckham coming off two knee surgeries. This is, I believe, Von Miller's second knee surgery as well. So we talking about a guy that's not – that you talk about Odell's out there. He's probably not going to get contacted. Von Miller's going to have 350-pound or 320-pound men leaning on him. So how are we just going to think that Von Miller's just going to come back and automatically be Lawrence Taylor?
Okay.
Not worried about that. Come on, Chris. You better than that.
So, but the signing, though, for the Bills is very interesting. Very interesting one, isn't it?
Well, it's an acknowledgement that they need help on the defensive side. And you talk about, you know, Sean McDermott. Let's see who they're going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't have Leslie Frazier calling plays anymore.
Yeah, I mean.
We watched last year.
They have McDermott, though. I mean, he's still there.
Yeah, but he's the head coach.
We've seen defensive-minded head coaches that can handle their defense.
I got that. But what I'm saying is it's still going to be different in an adjustment, and it's going to be different things that he likes to call that maybe Leslie Frazier didn't like to call, and who knows if that goes with the personnel.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm still bold. And listen, I think it's going to be a toss-up anyway. But if the Jets go sign Jadeveon Clowney or something like that, would that sway Chris back?
Probably would. It probably would. And let's wait.
Let's go sign in Dominican Sue.
Yeah.
Let's get some depth.
Well, let's see. Let's see it happen first, right? But I'm with you. Like, let's see it happen first. Meanwhile, C.J. Mosley had this to say about an addition on the offensive side that he liked very much.
As soon as he got here, you can see it. You know, he has so much attention to detail, whether he's looking at Well, I don't want to give things away. He has a lot of attention to details. That's all I'm going to say. And it's helping our offense, and it's helping our defense every single day. So we definitely feel like we're getting better every day. Even today, I practiced it. At one point, I felt like we was in a live game, but by the way, we was competing. So it's a lot of fun being out there with him.
He's talking about Aaron Rodgers, of course, and how he has just his presence alone, the impact it has had on this franchise. With that being said, so Bill Barnwell, who obviously does a lot of writing for us on the NFL for ESPN, and you saw him this morning on Get Up. He was on Get Up this morning. And he put out a report last week that was ranking the off seasons for all the teams, the 32 teams in the NFL. Where do you think the Jets would be ranked as far as, you know, the effective off seasons?
I would say probably fourth or fifth.
So you think they should be a top five?
Yeah, top five. With the moves that they made, yes, definitely mm-hmm. top five.
Okay, he has them at the 23rd most improved team.
Yeah, he's microdosing too.
Now, here's a key graph from his explanation on the Jets that I read it to Canty yesterday, but I want to read it to you because I want to see what you think of this take. Now, let me finish it before you react. Mm-hmm. Bill Barnwell says, yes, the Jets needed to upgrade at quarterback. Let's say that they could have had Teddy Bridgewater, who has been perfectly acceptable for teams with great defenses in the past, with his tenures in Minnesota and New Orleans as recent examples. Bridgewater is 9 years younger than Rodgers, has been beloved everywhere he has gone as a pro, and is still available as an unrestricted free agent. Barnwell basically is saying that the Jets could have basically done the same thing by just signing Teddy Bridgewater. Your thoughts, Bart Scott?
Do we have the meme that we are still dumber? We are all dumber. Do we?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
I mean, listen, I'm going to try and be as respectful as possible because he works for the company. But that's the dumbest stuff I've ever heard in my life. You mean to tell me Teddy Bridgewater? Let's talk about his Saints tenure. He played 5 games. Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, who have a quarterback.
In Minnesota, he had a catastrophic injury.
The Miami Dolphins, who quarterback hasn't been able to stay healthy, who's thinking about retirement. They thought that it was a better upgrade for them to get Mike White.
Mike White?
To get Mike White instead of re-signing Teddy Bridgewater.
Correct.
Does that not tell you everything you need to know? And you're telling us that the upgrade that was necessary to go to the next level could have just been fulfilled by Teddy Bridgewater? Mm-hmm. Well, tell me this.
So you don't have to give up the assets. His point was you gave up first-round pick and swapped the first-round pick. And
that's stupid, man. You know, we gave up a
second-round pick.
We gave up a player in Elijah Moore who was disgruntled, and we upgraded the position, or we made a lateral move with Mecole Hardman right there. So what are you talking about? So you basically still got Mecole Hardman. You got rid of Elijah Moore, and you used that as an asset. What are you talking about? So really, what did you give up? You gave up a first-round draft pick for a four-time MVP
mm-hmm.
who had a better season last year than your quarterback with a broken hand. Oh, my God. I can't believe that this guy – maybe he's just trying to pull a Kansas City ain't going to make the playoffs type of deal. Because to me, I can't believe that he believes this. This might be the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time. And I'm being – listen, I feel he went full Tropic Thunder. He went full Simple Jack.
Now
– it's no way. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and let me add this, though. Let me add this. Because and he did a report that broke down the Giants and the Vikings and how they got a boost from a new coach and how both teams, you know, really looked just so much better as teams, right? You know, obviously O'Connell, who you know very well, Kevin O'Connell – and then Brian Daboll, who you also know very well. And they both had successful first years. And he did this whole analytical thing about how you can't count on it to continue in year two, which I think we'll dive deep into that tomorrow. A lot of Giants tomorrow. But I just want to use this as an example. So Bill puts a lot of emphasis on what he does based on numbers, analytics, statistics, data, history. He puts it all together. And I feel, and I'm somebody that if you know me, especially if you know what I do coverage-wise when it comes to the NBA and what I do on MSG, I put a lot of emphasis on numbers. But there's one thing that I know is not, you can't quantify, that I think is what debunks this statement that he makes here about Aaron Rodgers on the Jets is, and look, I'm well documented here. Teddy Bridgewater was one of my favorite college players to watch when I was following him in college. I've always liked him as a player, always. So this is not hate on him. This is just truth. Teddy Bridgewater is signed by the Jets. Even if it was Derek Carr signed by the Jets, is there any sizzle, any juice, anything that is in that just lifts the room the way Aaron Rodgers has since he has arrived in Florham Park? Like the stuff that you can't quantify. It's not, you can't put a number on how a single player walks into a locker room, walks into a franchise, and with the attitude that he has brought with him, every single player, we just heard CJ Mosley, every player talks about just how much of a lift this guy's presence has been to the mood, the intensity, the culture of the Jet franchise. That is not something that you can put a number on. There's no way to show that value on paper. It is something you feel. And the Jets, as a franchise, have desperately needed that. Teddy Bridgewater might produce enough to give the Jets 21 points a game, which we know last year that defense is all it needed to go to 11 wins.
But how do you feel?
But I'm just saying that Teddy doesn't bring that kind of inspiration to a franchise that so desperately needed it, which is why this move for the Jets is worth the gamble of we might have him for 1 year, I don't even think they're going to have him. I think he'll be here for 2 years. But what I'm saying is that you can't put numbers on that.
All you have to say is, okay, how do you think teammates feel when they say, oh, well, we got Teddy Bridgewater and we're going against Patrick Mahomes?
Yep.
Oh, we got Teddy Bridgewater, and today we got Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Teddy Bridgewater today, and we got Lamar Jackson. Oh, we got Teddy Bridgewater today, and we got Deshaun Watson. We got Teddy Bridgewater today. You know what I'm saying? And we going against Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we smoking? And what are we talking about? Like, you feel like you have a legitimate chance. You feel pressure as a defensive player to have to play perfect when you're going against those players. But when you have a guy that you say, hey, he's going to find a way, we just got to make sure we play good football, don't give up big plays, he'll put points on the board, and we'll have a chance. And if he has the ball last, everybody in that stadium believes that his team's going to that he's going to find a way because he's done it too many times. You're not feeling that with Teddy Bridgewater. You're not feeling that with Derek Carr. Like, so, man, come on, man. What are we talking about? And do you have Alan Lazard without Aaron Rodgers? No. Do you have Nathaniel Hackett without Aaron Rodgers? No. Do you have Mecole Hardman without Aaron Rodgers? No. Do you have Randall Cobb without Pedep and Cheap without Aaron Rodgers? No. Because they would take them services somewhere else, especially if they're not making elite money. That's the impact of a guy like Aaron Rodgers. And it ain't even finished with, because we're going to have a lot of people get signed in June and July.
Well, again, when that happens, then you can say that. I'm talking about just right now. Like, I'm not even looking at potential of you can sign the different players that you've already mentioned and guys want to jump on. And the idea of that him being a magnet and saying, I can win, let me go there. Just like, again, the Brady effect with Tampa, right? I'm just saying that having a player of that caliber, but on top of it, the player of that caliber shows up. And then what is it? He's been pitch perfect. He's walked in and said all the things that you would want to hear a guy like that say. He has not been standoffish. He has not been like, Brett Favre showed up and was sort of like, yeah, I guess. You know, it's again, Monty Williams taking the Detroit job. I don't really want it, but I'll take it for the money. Phil Jackson taking the Knicks job. I really don't want to do this, but I can't say no to the money. You know, this Aaron Rodgers walked in going, I want to play here. I want to win a championship here. They have one Lombardi. It's lonely. I want to give him another one. Like, he has said everything. And then he's, I'm at OTAs. I'm pumping up the room. I'm taking teammates out. We're getting to know each other. He has literally come in and changed the culture of a franchise that so desperately needed it. That guys who came in, like Saleh and Joe Douglas, they have tried. They have tried to change the culture, but they can only, as new people, they can only take it so far. It takes that one force to come in and really take it over the top. And that's what Rodgers has done, to his credit. And you have to acknowledge that. There's no way that you can look at this situation from the outside right now and say, yeah, it's not going to work. Unless you just don't want it to work. That's it. This has already worked for the Jets. Now what you need is good health and for this team to perform on the field. And that's what we're all going to get to see in the fall. But there hasn't been this kind of anticipation for a Jets season since you played for that team, Bart. You can't put a number on that.
And a second year. It wasn't even the first year. People like, oh, who's a loud mouth dude, whatever.
You're right.
It's after we showed we was ready to put that smoke and we was ready to come back and we had a better team than we had the first year.
Yeah. You're right.
First year, people like, eh, whatever. They got a fat guy. And
it's amazing to me. 800-919-3776. We got Ray in Staten Island. Ray, how you feeling about this?
Hey, let me tell you something, guys. I'm on the app today and I'm reading the article and I'm scrolling down and I'm like, where are the Jets?
Yeah.
One third. This guy wrote this article. I like to think he was in his office wearing a pair of clown shoes or something. Like, send that guy on a drug test. Like, talk to him. And I agree with what you just said. People are loving to hate the Jets. They just want it to fail. And as a diehard Jet fan, let me tell you something. I don't care about the draft picks. What did we give up? Drafting another quarterback that's not going to work out?
Exactly.
I'm all for the risk we took, and if it doesn't work out, guess what? What are we going to do, not make the playoffs again? I'm used to it. But this could be something great. It could be something great, even if it's short-lived. And as a diehard Jet fan, you just said it again. You know, since going back to the franchise, that's like my last glimpse of the playoffs. So, you know, I'm all for it. And people are just loving and hating the Jets, and I would put it up in the locker room and every chance we get, just look to stick it to everybody.
That has to be, again, that'll be when we get into games and the players will have that obviously on their mind. But, you know, again, it's at the start of this thing, though, when you're looking at it, there's just no way, Bart, there's just no way you can look at the Jets from where they were last year and then where Rodgers is right now, just mentally, his presence, all that stuff. There's no way you can look at it and think, oh, yeah, this is doomed to fail. There's no way. 800-919-3776. I'll let C.J. Mosley have the last word about what he thinks is going to happen with his team this season.
If anything, it's going to put more targets on our back. Whether the disrespect came from, you know, people chalking up a W when they saw the Jets on the roster. I mean, saw the Jets on the schedule or the history or whatever it was. You know, now we can go sack number 8 and, you know, embarrass them then. It's just a bigger target on our back. And, you know, that's exactly what we want. We want them to give us everything that they have. We want to go into other people's stadium and hear every single thing they have to say so we can shut them up after the game is over. So that's what it's going to take to win the Super Bowl. That's what it's going to take to grow as a team, be competitive, and be able to win these tough games that we have coming in the future.
You can see that he's already ready for it, too.
Say hello to the bad guy.
That's right. That's right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Aaron Boone's, I guess, weekly appearance on the Talking Yanks podcast. No Judge tonight against the White Sox. So that's another game he's out after, of course, the toe injury. And, you know, I mean,
toes are weird.
He slammed the foot into that concrete base. You saw the replay. I know you were away, but you saw the replay of him crashing through the fence, right? With playing the catch he made against the Dodgers.
Pulling it up now, Sam.
Yeah, it was an amazing catch he made. Burst through the fence.
So.
And slammed his foot into at the bottom of the fence is a concrete, like, base.
Yep.
And now there's concerns. I mean, he even talked about how he's never broken his toe before, so he doesn't know if that's what it feels like. But he doesn't want to be on the injured list. They already have, you know, Bader is still on the injured list. And so they don't want to put him back on it, but that's another game he's missing while they try to figure out the extent of this toe injury.
Well, from a person that retired because of a toe?
Yes.
Very concerning because it could be broken, but it could be ligament damage. And, you know, that's even worse, right? Because you talk about a guy that has to redirect and adjust his speed with fly balls and stuff like that and maybe have to jump for balls. If you have ligament damage, it changes your gait, how you run, could change. You know, I don't know what foot it is, but it changes, you know, him batting as well. Toe injuries can be deadly. Like I said, toe injury ended my career, ended Jonathan Ogden's career. It ended Deion Sanders' career twice. He retired, came back, and then retired again. Mm-hmm. And now that toe is amputated.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's his right foot, and you know, obviously, I imagine X-rays, MRIs, everything has been done. It's getting the results back, taking a look, and then figuring it out. But you know, it's still something to keep an eye on here. It was a great play. I mean, it's just absolute great play. It just shows you again him playing all out. As he makes the play, burst through the face. It's an amazing replay when you watch it. But, you know, the fact that he's going to miss another game is concerning. And the fact that he also is saying, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't want to go on the IL, but I don't know. Don't know what to make of this.
And remember,
major
man,
concern for the
remember,
Yankees.
The concern from him is always, you know, him being injured or him getting hurt, right? Not being able to stay healthy because before last year, he has struggled for two seasons in not being healthy.
Right. Like I said, something to keep an eye on and certainly something for you to keep it right here with the Michael Kay Show coming up at the top of the hour. We have your calls at 800-919-3776. Got a lot of them we got to get to, but I just want to play this and then we'll get to the calls. So Josh Hart spoke with Taylor Rooks in the Bleacher Report about different things about his season. And one of the things he did talk about was an upcoming player option, which in a couple of weeks – he could opt out of his deal to become a free agent. The Knicks knew this when they traded for him. And so what does this mean for his future?
Probably decline that and do the free agency thing. My first free agency, I was restricted, and it was ass. I kind of actually cried a little bit. It took like 3 weeks to get it done. I'm like, damn, like, do people want me in the league? Like, I don't think this free agency would go that way. I love New York. I love the team. I love the coaching staff, the front office that we have. I've got young guys, draft picks, do all the, you know, all those sort of things. So obviously that would be an ideal place for me to just resign there and do that. Everything's perfect on the court, off the court, you know, with family, being close to home, doing all those kind of thing. So, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, when free agency starts, I'll say a deal will get done, you know, mm-hmm. hopefully in the first day or two. I would love for that to be home.
Sounds like he wants to stay a Knick. I can tell you the feeling's mutual.
Yeah, but
it matters just getting the deal done.
But it can be blown away. All somebody got to come, because he's the guy that haven't got the big bag. All somebody got to say is cash. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it rules everything.
Yeah, especially when you never got the big bag. Right, so he's searching for, you know, financial security before he is worried about winning. And he knows what his impact and value is on the Knicks and how much he should be worth. It should be whatever the market says he's worth, they should be willing to go a little bit higher.
800-919-3776. And again, it could make for decisions elsewhere too. Emmanuel Quickley is due for an extension. So is Obi Toppin. Don't necessarily have to do it. But it certainly could affect your decision-making there. And then Let's say you give Josh Hart, let's guess between 18 and 20 million, right? He's walking away. His opt out is I think it's 13 and change, 13.4, I think. So he's leaving that, which means he's obviously looking for more. Are you giving him 20? And if you are you giving him 20 to come off the bench?
Yeah.
So that is just something. And again, but this is an NBA now where your top players are making 50 million a year.
Yeah.
And you better so 20 better. All of a sudden isn't 20 like we're used to.
That's like your mid player. That's like your player that's good. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's like your number two receiver, right? That's like your inside linebacker, your middle linebacker, or something like that, or your good, important defensive tackle opposite of your star tackle.
Yeah. So, like I said, it is definitely a situation to watch, but I feel pretty good.
They better grab Naz Reid.
Yeah.
That better be on the report, too.
And again, Julius Randle getting ankle surgery, and he'll be fine. You know, later in the summer he'll be able to get back to basketball. But it just shows you those ankle injuries that he suffered late in the year, and then again in the playoffs, had an impact enough that it needs surgery. But then what do you do? I mean, how do you view Julius Randle and his future with the Knicks? So this is a big offseason for this team, an important offseason for this team. Let's get back to calls. 800-919-3776. On this topic, let's go to Colin in the Bronx. What's up, Colin?
Oh, Bartholomew Hollywood Han, what's going on? So I know you mentioned with the Julius Randle injury. I have a trade scenario that I want to run by you, Han.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of the trade scenarios you talked about with the big guys like Embiid or other people like that, I think that's pie in the sky, extremely unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you a scenario. Trading for Paul George. But the caveat would be to keeping Julius Randle. Obviously, his trade value decreases with that injury. So, and the Clippers are probably not going to have Kawhi Leonard for most of the year. Paul George is an older player, still can compete, but I don't think would be extremely expensive. You give them Quickly, you give them Toppin, who are both due for extensions, and the Knicks probably don't have the ability to pay them a large amount of money. You give them two first-round picks. You give them two young guys. Hopefully, somehow you can throw away Fournier with them, and you add that to that front.
That's a lot.
To lineup.
Who we trading for? LeBron?
Yeah, Paul. Paul. Yeah. Colin, let me just point out: Paul George is 33 years old.
He ain't that old.
He is next season. Next season, he is set to make $45 million. He has a player option in the following year.
He gone.
At $48.7 million. So you only really have him for a year at best, right? Like if you're the Clippers, what you're trading is a guy that either is going to opt out or look for an extension to stay. You're going to have to do one of the – an extension off 48 million because he'll pick up extend means you pick up the fourth that last year and then you extend off of that till he's like 36 years old.
Right.
So that's
so maybe the trade.
You're suddenly getting really old.
I would consider getting rid of Randle because what they're going to need in the Clippers is somebody who can play every day.
Kawhi just doesn't. He's not available.
Right. And Paul George has been hurt too. That's why he missed the playoffs. So what I'm saying is if you're giving them a lunch pail guy that's going to be there and give you 25 and 10 or 25 and 8, you know, every game in the regular season. Now, when you get to the postseason, it's all about Kawhi anyway. It's about can Kawhi be playoff Kawhi?
Yeah.
And can he stay healthy? So, I mean, but a guy who can get you to the dance, it's proven that he can get you to the dance, is Julius Randle. So I would consider maybe moving him, and I don't think the salary's too far off, maybe like $15 million or what, $10 million?
No, Julius is in the 20s, man.
Okay. But
what $20 million difference.
Right. So him and see if they'll take Fournier. And maybe a draft pick, and then I'll be able to go ahead and move that.
That'd be interesting. I mean, like I said, I don't think the Knicks should sit back. This whole notion of just run it back with the same group
that never works.
Right way to go here. Kevin on the island, Kevin.
Hey, what's good? What's good, fellas?
What's
good? I hope you had a good vacation, Bart. Yeah, y'all must know. You must know when I'm calling Bart was coming out of my mouth. But your conversation earlier in reference to what the whole Pat Riley situation and their culture. Is exactly what the Knicks should be doing. Don't star chase. Stop star chasing. Mm-hmm. You can do talent search. Do a talent search. Remember the week before last, Alan, I told you, you're moving Julius Randle and Robinson over to Phoenix, and you take him back
DeAndre.
You take Ayton and then go get Naz Reid. Yeah. I don't mind. I honestly don't mind that. Now, you got to watch because Ayton could end up going to Dallas if the Phoenix Suns want to bring in Kyrie. That might be what they end up doing.
Have a big three. That'd be a hell of a big three.
And then you have Booker, Kyrie, and KD.
An upgrade from Chris Paul.
But still, I like that, though, Kevin. Kevin, I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. Ayton, and then you sign, and then you get Naz Reid. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I think with Brunson and with Brunson, with Barrett, with Quentin Grimes, and Josh Hart, like that's the I need guys like that. I need kind of like on edge kind of guys, man.
And guys that are self-made. We got time for another call?
Where do you want to go?
I like loyalty, man. I like loyalty. Somebody been on hold for almost an hour and a half. I got to rock with that, man.
You want Tommy?
Yeah, I got to go with Tommy. Okay. Hey, yo, Tommy. Yo, Tommy. Ain't heard no bell.
What up, boys? How we doing?
Good.
Just out here driving through the smoke that came all the way from Canada. You seen this?
It's still bad, huh? This morning, the sunrise was orange.
What the hell they do? They set fires to the maples? Maple leaves?
Wildfires up in Nova Scotia, and the smoke keeps coming down the coast.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, I've been a firefighter for 14 years, and it's bothering me. I'm like, yo, I got a headache. My eyes are burning.
Yeah, it's hazy. Yeah, it is.
It's like smoking Newports with no filter.
Black and mild, you know?
Yeah.
But I wanted to circle back. You guys were talking about the golf stuff, you know, when you let off the show.
Yep.
Bart, I think your heart's in the right place with the PGA players that stayed, you know, trying to get theirs. But I don't think they have a chance to really do anything because they're not a union. You know what I mean? They're members of the tour.
Right.
And it's so complicated with the different bodies. You got the PGA, you got, you know, the European Tour, and then you got even some of the majors that aren't governed by the PGA. It's the USGA. So I don't know who you'd go after.
Well, you just come together as a class action, and what you do is you talk about them not wanting bad press. They'll just pay them to shut up. So you get your money that way.
I guess if they make enough of a stink, they could get money from somebody.
And it's good enough players, right? You're good enough players say, we ain't playing, so you got this combination. But we the stars. If Tiger say ain't playing and these other guys, McIlroy, say they're not playing and they just kind of sit out, they might say, you know what, man, this is bad for our TV ratings. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, and maybe they go after like a, well, the reason you picked me up, a loyalty thing. You know, they stayed true. You know, they didn't bail.
A loyalty tax.
So the value of, you know, tank completely because they didn't take the money. But I don't know what.
Yeah, it's a bombshell. Tommy, thanks for the call, my man. It is a bombshell story today that we began the show with. And if you're just joining us and haven't heard it, it is this announcement that almost came out of nowhere where the PGA Tour and LIV Golf have joined forces and they are now one entity. And that's a real thing. And there's a statement from the PGA explaining it about the business interests, and it's clearly a money thing. There's no doubt. It's clearly this was a decision all about the investment that you will get now from the Saudis into the sport. And rather fighting it, PGA tried to fight it, but then they know they can't. So now they're just going to work with it.
But when it was a business deal for the individual players, it was a problem.
Yeah.
But now it's a business deal for you guys.
That
now,
they can't avoid.
Oh, no, it's all good. You can do it, but we can do it, but you can't.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's grab a couple of calls before we call it a day, and they can take over and give you the latest on Aaron Judge and the toe and why he's out yet another game and how much longer can the Yankees expect to not have him. And then a Mets heading into a big series against the Braves tonight as well, in a series that I just feel like if you're one of the top players on the Mets in this clubhouse, you're looking around going, it's early, it's not time to panic, but you know what? It's time for us to show up and show out, especially against this team. Set a tone. Starts tonight. But we have calls to get to, and let's get to them, Bart, because people want to talk Jets with you.
Let's do it.
Let's go to Alex in Topan. Alex. Probably have to pick up the phone. That would be nice. How you doing, Alex? My bad.
Okay. How you guys doing today?
I'm clicking the wrong screen. What's up, man?
I couldn't be more excited for the Jets this year. I mean, having Aaron Rodgers, I think, is just going to make, you know, the Jets, you know, just more fun to watch. You know, my concern was is that he's almost 40, and I was, like, more in for Derek Carr. But after hearing that, like, Carr, you know, can't play in cold weather and that he got benched by Vegas, I was saying, you know what, let's get Aaron Rodgers. If Brady can lead a new team far, you know, late in his career, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers can. And plus, he's got Nathaniel Hackett, so it's not like he's going to have to learn a new system the way Brett Favre did. And, you know, I think he's going to be able to, you know, break that Jets season, you know, touchdown pass record that Fitzpatrick set in 2015 because, you know, he'll have more playmakers and all that. And, you know, I couldn't be more excited. A lot of nice primetime games. I'm thinking 13-4 this year, and I can't wait.
Oh, he's using the words.
Hey, Alex, check this out, right? How old is Aaron Rodgers?
39.
He'll be 40 in December. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many years did it take him to play?
He began, you know, the starting quarterback with the Packers in year 4.
Okay, so take 4 years off his age as far as the wear and tear on his body, and that's what he really is. So you're talking about a guy that got the mileage on him as a 36-year-old, a guy who hasn't taken a lot of punishment. So look at it that way.
Okay.
That's the right mentality to have. I mean, again, that's why the anticipation is the excitement about what is to come. And don't look at the numbers. This is more about a guy that has showed up and he has owned it. He has embraced it. That's what you love. Josh in Brooklyn.
Hey, what's up? I just want to say that I just feel like everybody's going to be trying to – it's going to be the hot take to diss the Jets this season, man. Everybody's going to have a hot take on how horrible they're going to be. Bill Ballmer's supposed to be on with DNR and them sometime this week, so I'm curious to hear what he has to say. But it's going to be a hot take, so everybody's trying to diss the Jets. I don't know if you guys heard the rumor about the Dalvin Cook thing. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, Bart, we didn't bring that up. I'm glad you brought that up, Josh. Bart, Dalvin Cook, being a Jet, yes or no?
I mean, listen, that gives him another downhill runner. Listen, this system is a system that requires or really embrace, you know, a lot of running backs, different styles with that one-cut mentality. He fits that narrative. He's a guy that can catch the ball. He's one of the best one of the best running backs in the game still.
We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. K-Show next. See you, Bart.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.